Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by the Parent House. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
All right, afternoon. Thanks for being here. Well, COVID-19 may be the word or word people don't want to talk about of the year, the way things are going. And we're going to bring in another discussion on the topic. Douglas County Commissioner Tim Freeman and from Douglas Public Health Network, Dr. Bob Dannenhofer. Thanks for coming in.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having us.
So, Bob, what can you update us on the status of things right now?
Well, the status is we are in the middle of a worldwide pandemic, which means an epidemic in multiple continents at the same time. And so a global pandemic is a big deal. I've been checking the numbers. It looks like we'll probably hit 200,000 cases and almost 8,000 deaths within the next day or so. So it's really expanding. The good news is that in China and Korea, where they've gotten this under control, there had very few new cases. In fact, in China today, we think they had less than 10 new cases, which means we can get this under control. But it took them a long time to get there, and we're still at the increasing part of the curve.
A lot of people have asked me over the course of the last week, as this has evolved, okay, what about the number of people that die every year from the flu versus this? And a lot of people are saying, why is this getting, you know, so much attention versus just flu in general?
So flu is very important. And as you know, I'm a hawk on the flu every year. We've done these drive-through flu clinics. We talk every year about getting flu vaccine, and I talk to hundreds of kids every week about getting flu vaccine. So flu is very important. Flu affects many million Americans, and every year there are about 30,000 deaths from that. But the death rate is pretty low. The death rate overall for flu is about 1 in 1,000. So let's think about 1 in 1,000 as the number from the flu. And for every one case of flu, about 1.3 people get it. And so flu comes every year. It rises fairly steadily, so that when we look, it takes about 14 weeks for it to rise from to rise eightfold. And then you get a death rate of 1 in 1,000. So it's a very important disease. This disease is rising so that it went up eightfold in 2 weeks. So rather than 14 weeks, it went up eightfold in 2 weeks. So it's much more contagious. The second thing about this one is much more deadly. So we talk about 1 in 1,000 for the flu. This one, for people my age, is 50 in 1,000. And for people my mom's age, is 150 in 1,000. So much more contagious and so much more deadly than the regular flu. And with the regular flu, we have rapid testing. With the regular flu, we've got very good antiviral drugs. For this, we have neither of those. We have neither the testing nor the antiviral drugs. And so this one is so much bigger idea than the flu, and that's why people are concerned. Still, there are probably this year so far more deaths from the flu than coronavirus. But if we let coronavirus hit through the nation, we could have as many as millions of deaths, where we've never had more than hundreds of thousands of deaths from the flu.
And every one of these pandemics, the virus is a little bit different.
So this pandemic is caused by a coronavirus, and it appears to be a new virus that started somewhere in the fall or winter of 2019.
So, Tim, for the county, you're involved in a lot of different things in county government normally. Maybe explain the county government role in this situation.
So Douglas County, like counties around the state of Oregon, are the public health authority. So we work directly with the state, and we retain the statutory role as the public health authority. Now here in Douglas County, I think we're very fortunate in that we, a few years back, sort of expanded who all is involved in that. And we've involved a lot of our community health partners as part of a nonprofit that does the actual services. So the county contracts public health services with community partners, including the Douglas Public Health Network. So because of that, very early on, all the community partners have been engaged in this response to this particular virus. On top of the work that we do in public health and the statutory role that we have, we also have a lot of really important services at the county that we have to maintain. And I think a lot of people I don't want to say take for granted, but are busy doing other things and don't realize the importance of some of the services. Things like making sure that our jail continues to operate even if this virus happens to get into the jail. Our sheriff's department, our dispatch center, other things like the district attorney's office, the juvenile services, where we house up to 36 children in the DHS system and a detention center besides that. You know, we also do important services like our seniors services, where we're delivering meals, our veteran services, elections. We've got an election coming up, you know, making sure we're prepared to do elections and have staff to do that. The clerk's office, property deeds, all recordings, all those kind of things that have to go on. You know, then you add buildings department, the planning department, the parks department, our radio dispatch center. You can imagine, you know, if we didn't have staff, that's a very specific job with very specific talent to do that job. And then just the regular things like roads and bridges and just maintenance of stuff and keeping things happening. You know, last year we were talking about the storm and the damage and all the work that our public works crews have done. So the county's got a lot going on. Specific to the public health, though, we really are part of the interface between state and federal government and the local work that's going on. Literally starting Sunday, we've been on a call with the governor, the local elected officials, every day, and expect to have more of those as time goes on. The governor disclosed to us her decision yesterday about the new restrictions on gatherings and restaurant closures and bar closures, those type of things. She took input from us Sunday night and then disclosed her decision a couple hours before she made that public yesterday. We are trying to give measured feedback to the governor's office about rural Oregon. I think most of the rural legislators didn't see the need to necessarily close restaurants. We had some concern in the most rural parts of our county about people getting food. A lot of people go to the restaurants for at least one of their meals, if not all their meals, every day. That was balanced in the governor's office or with the governor's decision against those big areas in Portland. And as usual, the Portland area is one, so the closure occurred. So we are engaged in a bunch of different ways.
So, Bob, you have been dealing with this call center since it got started amongst a number of people that are volunteering there. We've talked about it a few times. We've got a couple articles up about it. But if somebody hasn't heard, because there's so many questions about this swirling around, explain the call center.
So we know that there are a lot of concern and a lot of questions swirling around. And we know that if people can't get good information, they'll get some information, which may not be good. So our idea was to put together a volunteer call center using healthcare professionals in this county so that people could get up-to-date and authoritative information on what goes on. And it's staffed by doctors and nurses so that if people have a medical call about COVID, that they'll get good answers. So we think that we're there to provide good information. We're there each day from 8 in the morning till 7:30 at night. We've gotten over 100 calls. I did the call center on both Friday and Saturday nights, and we got some great calls. People are really concerned about this, and I think with almost everybody, by the time we got done, they said, I feel so much better now than when I called.
Well, and I think a lot of people, because of social media and all of that, and for most of us who are not medical professionals, honestly, that's my hardest area sometimes to sift through what is exactly, you know, terminology and what does it mean and things like that for just life in general when you talk about medicine. But you get a situation like this and somebody thinks they see something on Facebook and then forwards that to somebody else and suddenly it's almost a pandemic of social media. And information gets out there that's not even close to being correct or authoritative.
So there's a lot of information out there, and I think people are now dealing mostly with information overload. I mean, I cannot imagine how many hits you'd get if you Googled COVID-19, some of which are correct and some of which you don't know. So most of my life I've been a pediatrician, and my job is to explain to kids and their families stuff really simply. So over the years, I've developed a little talent for going ahead and trying to simplify it, but not make it more simple than it needs be, so that people understand what goes on.
And you've done a couple of Facebook Live events. You're going to be doing those periodically, right?
We will. I think we'll be doing another one tomorrow night. We've gotten lots of good reviews and lots of good questions along the way. So we're going to do it again. We'll do one tomorrow night, and it'll be a special one tomorrow night.
All right,
So the county's also very engaged in the information sharing. And if you go to the county's website, you can get that information. You can also sign up for our newsletter. We're sending out the information. We're very careful to make sure it's accurate when we send it out. And that's a good place for people to get information they know they can trust. We put links to the Oregon Health Authority and CDC. We are, of course, working very closely with the Douglas Public Health Network. Remember, Dr. Dannenhofer is the Douglas County public health official. He is the officer, public health officer. He works with us. We're getting very good at making sure that the information that goes out from the county is correct and timely, because it's changing really quickly.
And going to take a break at Inside Douglas County. More when we come back. County Commissioner Tim Freeman and Dr. Bob Dannenhofer from Douglas Public Health. They interview a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1246, News Radio 1240, KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248. Lars Larson coming up at 1 on News Radio 1240 KQEN. County Commissioner Tim Freeman and Dr. Bob Dannenhofer, Douglas Public Health Network official, talking about the COVID-19 situation and the response. Dr. Bob, one of the questions as this, you know, emerges, because versus a common flu, there are a lot of similarities. And so when people go in to get, you know, to go in and go, okay, I don't feel good, what do I have? Some people have said, well, why can't I get, you know, tested? Explain kind of the protocol and how all that works.
So there are clearly some similarities between the flu and COVID. And flu, we've got an easy rapid test, takes about 10 minutes, relatively inexpensive. And so if somebody comes with flu symptoms, I can go ahead and do that test within a few minutes and let them know. And for flu, it's really important because there's a very excellent anti-flu drug that if you're positive, I can give you, and it'll shorten your symptoms and decrease the transmissibility. So that's a good thing to do with the flu. With COVID, we don't have that testing done yet. There are two types of tests. The first type of test is the test that was developed by the CDC or the Centers for Disease Control. It's a very accurate but somewhat cumbersome test. It takes super skilled people and super equipment to do it. And so the state is only doing this at the state lab in Portland. And so they're doing this up in Hillsborough, so that you have to get the specimen up there and they'll do it. It takes a day or so to get the results, but when you get the results, they're very accurate. And so that's an important thing for the state to do, to know who has it. And so the state is screening people who were traveling and have symptoms, for people who were serious enough to be admitted to the hospital with pneumonia. So they're doing those, and those are important cases. But very obviously, we're going to need to have more testing of the average guy on the street who doesn't need to be hospitalized. And that's something that no place in the country is doing well yet. Over the last few weeks, some of the laboratories have brought up their capability. And so Quest Lab, private laboratories have brought up their capability to do that. And so we're hoping to exploit that. And I left you last Monday with a cliffhanger. I will leave you today also with a cliffhanger about testing.
Okay. And we'll get to that right at the end of the program. Tim, what's next for the county?
So again, we're myself and the other two commissioners are all hands on deck trying to figure out what continuity of county government looks like. If this escalates, already we're starting to see a little bit of drop off in workforce showing up with the school closures. You know, some people have to stay home to take care of their kids. We expect to see more of that. We're making sure that some of those areas like meal delivery, our meal services from our seniors department, where people would normally come to a dining site, we're going to be doing window service for those folks. Those sites are staffed with volunteers that are generally older, so we're putting in contracts in place for temporary employees, those type of things, to make sure we're doing continuity of government. The sheriff's office is putting plans in place where deputies maybe don't interact with the other deputies as much. They're out and doing patrols. They've of course sent their list of new ways of doing business. So all kinds of contingencies, and to the degree we can continue to do work and people can work at home, we've set up some of that to happen also.
You know, this is really unique situation. This is probably the first time I've ever, in a long time, actually Lysoled a studio before we did an interview with both of you and me and all the folks that we come in contact with and all the things that we're doing. And, you know, things that 2 weeks ago you wouldn't have thought about now are becoming a kind of a new reality.
Well, I was going to say, you know, preparing for problems. I mean, this is no different. A year ago, we were sitting here talking about the storm and making sure you were prepared, you know, to be at home for a couple of weeks. All those things that we've talked about for years, this is just one more reason why that makes sense. What's not helpful is everybody running out, you know, when there's an emergency and buying all the food or all the toilet paper or whatever people are buying. So the idea of preparing all year long is important. Some systems that we worked on in between the last issue and this one are coming out to be good ideas. We've got laptop computers where people can log into their desktop from home and those type of things. Certainly as this progresses, nobody has a crystal ball. We don't know where it's going to go or if it's going to get worse or if things are going to start to get better. What we continue to hear from the federal government is that the worst is yet to come. So we're trying to be prepared. Although I will tell you, the Douglas Public Health Network folks and all the community partners working on public health here in Douglas County have done an amazing job. The fact that we had one case over a week ago and not a whole bunch of cluster around that means that there was an awful lot of great work done around that one case. And we also know as testing improves and increases, we're very likely to get additional cases. But that being said, it's been pretty amazing to watch the public health folks that they train their entire life for this situation show up and know exactly what to do, and it's been impressive.
You know, one of the other things, too, when you talk about people who are more at risk, the fact that over 20% of Oregon's current cases are all from the Veterans Home in Lebanon, where a lot of folks are, most folks are over 70, I'm told, a number are over 90. Explain about the elderly being more at risk.
So this virus in particular hits the elderly very hard. So in most diseases, pretty much all age groups get sick with it. There may be some age groups that get a little bit more than others. This one is very particular for attacking seniors. So again, the death rate at 30, 2 in 1,000, the death rate at 80, 150 in 1,000. So a 75-fold difference in the death rate in that group. There's no other virus that has that. And that's why we're especially worried about spreading in a place like a veterans home or a nursing home in Washington. Most of these are staffed by relatively young people in their teens or 20s. They're not going to be very sick, and they can spread this to our elderly, and that's what we do. So we have to really respect our elders, and the best way to respect our elders is to keep them safe.
If you're not feeling well, don't go visit people in a retirement home. As much as, you know, you'd want to go see your loved one, if you have any indication that you might not be feeling well, don't do it. Same thing with people in the hospital. You know, our tendency is to go want to help and visit people and make them feel better when they're in the hospital. If you're not feeling well, don't go.
Well, and in fact, Mercy put out new restrictions yesterday. And so obviously they're working on that. Some of the other health systems in Oregon, even more restrictive, one that isn't around this area, but up more towards the north, actually has a no visitor policy, period. Just because of the seriousness of this. So about just under a minute left. Dr. Bob, how do you want to wrap things up here?
So to wrap things up, there's no need to panic, but there is a totally reason to be aware of what's going on. I think Tim's advice on visiting old people is good. I would strike a positive note here. This is a time we can help each other out. And recovers.org is a website that we're using to help people, match people up who have needs, maybe a senior who needs food, and people can volunteer. So recovers.org.
And what's your cliffhanger?
The cliffhanger is on testing, and that's the cliffhanger.
All right. So more to come out soon on testing then. All right.
Yes.
All right. There you go. To be continued. Dr. Bob Dannenhofer and County Commissioner Tim Freeman, thanks for coming in this afternoon.
Great. Thank you for having us.
12:57 at News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by The Parent House. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.